We read now the Word of God from Ephesians chapter 2. The text we consider is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Going to read the first 10 verses of Ephesians 2. I don't want to distract from the Word of God, and probably am distracting from that if I tell you this, but maybe you should know that I'm going to read only the first 10 verses because my vision is a bit spotted right now. That happens, unfortunately, to me sometimes. Thankfully, this is only the second time it's ever happened in the pulpit. I'll be all right. It does mean that later on I'll probably have a headache, but in probably 15, 20 minutes, I hope it goes away. But as I read, this is going to be a little bit of a difficulty for me. But let's read the first 10 verses, Ephesians chapter 2. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Thus far we read the Word of God. That's the text tonight, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the reoccurring and dominant themes in the letter to the Ephesians is that all glory, all credit, all honor for our salvation, for the salvation of the Church of Jesus Christ, goes to God. Read the entire book of Ephesians and you will see that theme throughout. Here in Ephesians 2 verse 10, that is one of the great themes of this text that we consider tonight. All glory goes to God. Paul calls us God's workmanship. Paul says we are created by God in Christ Jesus. Paul even points back not just to the work of God in creating us, but he points back even to the plan of God. And why does he do that? Because he wants to emphasize the point that he was making at the end of verse 9, where negatively he says that our salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation is not something that brings us glory. It's not something we should boast about. Positively, this is all about boasting in God, bringing God glory. And why do we give God all of the glory? Well, verse 8 gives us the reason for that. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." There you go. Someone asks you, why do you give all glory to God? You can quote verse 8. But you can also quote verse 10, which also starts with the word "for," giving the reason. Why do you give all glory to God? Why don't you boast of yourself what you do? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, by way of introduction, I want you to see that there are really two reasons why we boast in God and give him the glory. First of all, for who we are as fill in the blank. Who are you? A believer. You are a saint. You are a saved child of God. You are a member of Christ in his church. Now, why are you that? Because God made you. God created you this way in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God for who we are in Jesus Christ. It's not of works. Not of our works. It's God's work. Secondly, all glory be to God for what we do. We do work. Paul emphasizes that here in the text. We walk in works. That means that we live a life full of activity, filled with our works. Now that does not come before we are who we are. In other words, it's very important to recognize that we may never say, because we walk in good works, that has anything to do with us becoming Christians. We become Christians, as I said, repeating that now, because of God's work. But then once we are who we are by God's grace, we live this life, we walk this life of good works. But even that, if you understand the text rightly, is the work of God in and through us in Jesus Christ. So that there too, no glory to us, no boasting of us, all glory to God. And so, we consider God's word tonight to us in this text under the theme, created unto good works. And we're going to notice three things. First of all, the truth that we are God's workmanship. There we look at his creation of us, or recreation of us in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we consider God's plan, and then thirdly, God's purpose. The Apostle Paul declares here that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and then explains what that means when he says, rather I should say, the Apostle says we're his workmanship, and then explains what that means when he says we are created in Christ Jesus. That we are God's workmanship means we are the product of his work. He produced us. He created us. I can say this sermon tonight is my workmanship. It wasn't written by Seminary and we. It wasn't written by the elders. No one else wrote this sermon. I wrote this sermon. It is my workmanship. And that's the sense in which Paul is looking at himself and all of the believers in Ephesus, and this applies to all of the members of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the product of God's work, his creative act. We are his creation. And so, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that's who you are. God's special work, his creation. God's creation of us in Jesus Christ is a miracle, a wonder work of the highest order. When the Apostle Paul says, you are the workmanship of God, He has created you in Christ Jesus. You must stand in awe of this work of God. That comes out in that word, created. This is a wonder work. Often that word created refers to the work of God to make things out of nothing. What a wonder. Here, though, the reference is not to the original creation when God made all things out of nothing. Here, the Apostle Paul is speaking of a recreative work. The Apostle Paul is speaking of something that was originally created good, but it has fallen, shattered, if you will, has become worthless, and God performs the wonder of restoring, recreating that which has fallen. Stunning and amazing as Genesis 1 verse 1 is, beloved, and you don't have to agree with me tonight on this, but I am convinced that what the Apostle Paul speaks of here in Ephesians 2 verse 10 is all the more stunning and amazing. In the beginning, God made a man and a woman, first of all, out of nothing, and then he, out of the creation he made out of nothing, he formed that man, that woman, and that was an amazing work of God to make that man, that woman, breathe into them the breath of life, make them his friends in his covenant in creation. What a wonder work of God. But now Paul speaks of God's act of taking, and you can talk about one sinner, or you can talk about millions of sinners, taking hold of people who are dead in sin, people who are opposed to God, dead to God, people who are under the power of Satan and of the world, taking those people and renewing them, restoring them, making them his friends in his covenant in Jesus Christ. To understand how stunning this miracle work of God is, you have to go back to the first part of the chapter, what we read in verses 1 through 3, where the Apostle Paul can say to the Ephesians, he might not even know them that well, but he could say this to them and to any one, he could say to anyone, even though he didn't know them, he can say this to you and me. This is what you were. You were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were dead in sin, dead to God, under the power of our own sinful natures, of the devil, of the wicked world, and that was the way we wanted it. We didn't want God. We wanted sin and disobedience and death. This is a miracle that God creates us, recreates us, transforms us to be his people. To understand the miracle of that, I think that we, and I'm speaking foolishly here, I know, but I think that we could say that when Jesus spoke of a camel passing through the eye of a needle, that we can say that that applies here. That you would ever be transformed to be a friend of God is more impossible because of our natural state as dead sinners. That's more impossible than a camel going through the eye of a needle. I don't mean to be trivial, but it is said that human beings can only fold a piece of paper 7 times in half. You can't do it 8 times. Well, I say to you, it's more possible that you can go home tonight and fold a piece of paper in half 8 times. That's more possible, really, than you and me, dead in sin, becoming the children of God. In order to drive home that point even more, I want to point out that the Apostle Paul here in the book of Ephesians speaks of the church as a building. And God makes that building out of Jews and Gentiles whom he gathers out of sin and death, brings them into Christ and into the church and says, this is what I'm building my beautiful church out of. This building material. And you can think of it this way. It's as if a builder goes out and says, to build a beautiful, sturdy building, I'm not going to use the strong, mighty oak wood that I could purchase, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to find dead, rotten wood, hollow in some places, soft, flaky in other places, and that's what I'm going to build this building out of. And then you ask the question, well, how are you going to do it? And think of how stunned you would be if the builder said, well, first, I'm going to take this dead, rotten wood, and I'm going to make it good wood. I'm going to make it new. I'm going to make it strong. I'm going to make it sturdy. And you just watch, out of this wood that you see now is dead and rotten, I'm going to make a beautiful building. That's what the Apostle Paul is describing here in the text when he speaks of you and me, the people of God, as the creation of God in Christ Jesus. It's a wonder work. It's an impossibility for human beings, but what's impossible for us is possible for God. And that's what we find here in verse 4. Do you remember this morning I said we're going to see tonight another one of those amazing buts? A great contrast? That's what we have here in verse 4. Verses 1 through 3, who are we? What are we by nature? Dead in sin, dead to God, dead and under the power of the world and of Satan. But God, verse 4 says, here is the gospel. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. And now here comes two very important verses in connection with verse 10. Verse 10 says, we are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. And you ask, how do you describe that? How will you describe God's work of creating us in Christ Jesus? And the answer is that the Apostle Paul does that for us in verses 5 and 6. You want to know how God created the world in the beginning? Go to Genesis chapter 1. You want to have a description of God's creating a Christian, recreating a dead person, raising a dead person to life, recreating them so that they're new creatures. Here's the description in verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are dead. God raised you through Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. That was your regeneration, which the canons of Dort in Head 4, Article 13 says is sometimes denominated in Scripture or named in Scripture a new creation. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in verses 5 and 6. A dead person, recreated with new life. That's what it means to be created by God in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I said this morning that the beginning of the story for you and me is that we're fallen in Adam. And that's what the Apostle Paul is describing here in verses 1 through 3. But now in verses 4 through 10, the Apostle Paul is saying, that's not the end of the story. Here's the middle and here's the end of the story. God, but God, and the grace of God who is rich in mercy, giving to you a new life in Jesus Christ. You who once were lost are now found. You who once were blind, you now see. You who once were dead, you now live. You who once had nothing to look forward to but eternal death in hell, well, you will live more than 10,000 years, forever in heaven. To whom do you and I owe our identity? Well, here it is. Christian, yes. Saint, yes. Member of Christ, yes. But you can use this term, new creature. And that term tells you, I am a creature of God. He recreated me. He raised me from death to life in Jesus Christ. And then you can see in that there's no room for boasting. Where are you going to try to fit that in, beloved? Where are you going to fit that in? You are dead. God raised you from the dead. You are depraved. God recreated you. Where are you going to say, yes, but let me tell you about my work. Let me tell you about my contribution. We are God's workmanship. He has created us. And we understand that it's all due to His will and His power. Think of someone in a cemetery that you might want, it would be your will that they be alive again. No matter how strongly you desire that, no matter how much you might pursue that, I want this person to live again. You know you don't have the power to make it happen. For the dead to be alive again in the resurrection of the body, but also in the resurrection of dead sinners unto life in Jesus Christ, it's the will and the power of God. God has created you in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has planned for you to do. That's what the apostle says here. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When the Apostle Paul says, before ordained, you ask the question, before when? The answer is, before all things, before time. In eternity, God planned all things. And specifically now, what the Apostle Paul is referring to is the plan of salvation. He is referring to the plan of God to save a church for Jesus Christ. Christ is the head whom God has predestined from all eternity. You can see that in Ephesians chapter 1. And for that head, God has designed, God has planned, God has chosen a body and all of the members of that body. God gives us salvation. Why? Because before, in eternity that is, He planned it. By grace ye are saved. That is, right now, you are saved because God gives you grace. Why? Because God, in eternity, planned to give you that grace. You have faith. By faith, you know that you are united to Jesus Christ. By faith, you know that you are delivered from sin. By faith, you know that you belong to God and that you belong to His church. By faith, you know that you have the hope of everlasting life in heaven. Why do you have that faith? Because God planned before to give you that faith. But now, in verse 10, the Apostle Paul speaks also of the fact that God's plan in eternity includes all of our works. Why do you do good works? The ultimate answer is because God, in eternity, planned every one of them. Now, what do we mean by a good work? You know the definition of a good work. First of all, that a good work has to be done out of faith. That's proved, isn't it, by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, especially from a negative point of view in verses 1 through 3. Paul describes those who have no faith, who are dead in sins, and says this is the way they walk. In sin, they serve the devil, they serve the world, they serve themselves and their own evil desires. And verse 8 says that faith is the gift of God. And that means positively that only one who's a new creature, who has been given faith by God, is able to do good works. A good work has to be done out of faith according to the law of God. Again, the Apostle Paul confirms that here. You know that definition of a good work from Lord's Day 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism. But in verse 1, he says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. That means that we were dead in the sense that we would not keep the law of God. We trespassed the law of God. But now this is the definition of a good work, that you keep the law of God. You live according to the standard of God and His commandments. And then, thirdly, God's glory must be the end of that work. It's done out of faith according to God's law for God's glory. And this is why an unbeliever simply cannot do anything good. If you look on the outside at the way that an unbeliever behaves, it might look like he can do good works. The unbeliever can do things to serve his neighbor. The unbeliever can do things to serve the good of humanity. He can donate his money to charity. He can even copy the good works of God's people. An unbeliever can walk into this church and sit in a pew. An unbeliever can look like he's listening to the sermon. An unbeliever can fold his hands and look like he is praying to God. But without faith, he can't possibly have the inward love of God and desire to glorify God. People don't like to hear this, but it's true, beloved. Those who don't have faith, even if their works look good on the outside, are always doing those works for a selfish motive, to please or glorify themselves, or to please and to make others happy. It's only the believer who has been given faith by God, who loves God, who is able to seek the glory of God, who does any good works. Out of faith, because of the grace that God has given to us, we do good works. This is one of those times when it's impossible to give a complete summary of all the good works we do. They're all kinds. Just as this morning it's impossible to say, here's all the good news we find in the Bible. We as Christians repent. We confess our sins. That's a good work. We do. I already mentioned prayer. We worship God. We witness to others. When someone asks us for a coat, we're willing to give them two, are we not? When someone asks us to walk a mile, we're willing to walk 2 miles with them. When someone attacks us, we're ready not to attack them back, but to turn the other cheek. We serve the neighbor. In love, we not only have the desire to be kind to our spouses, but we do things to show our kindness. We love our children. We love our parents. We love our fellow church members in the congregation. But when the Apostle Paul says you were created unto these good works, he's saying you do these good works, but only because of God's sovereignty over you and those works in planning them. And that means that when we think about God's plan in eternity, we can identify 4 ways that God has prepared these good works and us for these good works. Every good work that you have done, first of all, was planned by God. You didn't plan it. He did in eternity. Secondly, God planned the circumstances so that you'd have the opportunity to do that good work. That was all planned by God beforehand. And then steps 3 and 4 have to do with God planning to give you grace. God in all eternity recognized that there's a good work that he planned for you to do, and that he has planned the circumstances in which he wants you to perform that good work, but he recognized that you were going to need grace, that I was going to need grace to desire to do that good work. And so he planned that from all eternity. In that moment, I am going to work through the preaching, maybe, through an encouraging word from a family member, through some circumstance in this person's life to bring up this desire in their heart and mind. This is how I'm going to do good to serve God and to serve the neighbor. But then fourthly, lastly, God from all eternity recognized you're going to need grace to carry through, to actually do the good work. And so God said in all eternity, I'm going to plan that too. That at that moment, when I have worked that desire and that circumstance for you to do the good work, I'm also going to be there to give you the grace so that you'll perform it. So to give one example, you went to a brother or sister on the sick bed and showed them compassion, not selfishly, not for glory and praise from others, but because you love God and because you love that fellow saint. All of that was planned by God beforehand. He is the one who planned from eternity. He wanted you to visit that sick saint. And he's the one who in his providence, according to his plan, made that one sick and in the hospital. He arranged those circumstances. And he is the one who planted in your heart the desire to go see them. And yes, you did need that grace too. He's the one who gave you the grace so that you didn't make excuses and sit at home. But you went. And in love, you visited that saint. And this means, as Philippians 2 tells us, that it is God who works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure, that is according to what he before ordained, before planned, as what was his pleasure for us to do in all eternity. Any work we do, this is another way to put it, God is first. Did you pray? Did you repent? You love your neighbor? It's because God before ordained that he would give you the grace to do that work. And therefore, even when we speak of a work of repentance and say that you must repent, and it's only when you repent that God is going to give you the grace and the knowledge of forgiveness, we recognize that doesn't put our repentance first. Oh no. God before ordained, and then in his grace carried out our work of repentance. When it comes, beloved, to who we are, we boast in God. We know, don't we? And are on guard against any error of anyone saying, my works contributed to my salvation. My works helped me become a Christian, a child of God. No, that's all of God's grace. He has created us in Christ Jesus. But now the Apostle Paul says this also applies to all of the works you do, all of the things that you do, all the activity of your life as a Christian. All glory to God. You live the life of sanctification, beloved, that's the work of God's grace in and through you to his glory. And that brings us to the third point of the sermon tonight. What is the purpose of God in creating us unto good works in Christ Jesus? And before ordaining or planning that we would be created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the first answer to that is in the last part of the verse, where the Apostle Paul says that God has created us unto Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Do you see the fact that God is sovereign? Not only in our salvation and in making us who we are, but also in what we do. He's sovereign over every activity we perform. Is not an excuse for not doing good works. There's no excuse, beloved, that may come from your lips for living in sin. There's no excuse for any Christian not to do good works. This text destroys, refutes every excuse that sinners like to make. And yes, beloved, sometimes there are people who like to use the excuse, well, because God is sovereign in every aspect of salvation, it doesn't matter what I do. There are others, and your pastor has run into people like this, and you maybe have run into people like this, who like to use the excuse, well, I'm a sinner. I cannot do any good, so it doesn't matter how I behave. The text, as I said, refutes and demolishes those excuses when it says, do you know who you are? You are a new creature in Jesus Christ. But then secondly, do you know the purpose of God in making you a new creature in Jesus Christ? God's purpose was this, that you would walk in good works. And for you to make an excuse and say, I don't need to walk in good works, is for you not only to oppose the purpose of God, but you even to call into question the power of God. Are you saying that you think the purpose of God can fail? The Apostle Paul is saying, here's the powerful purpose of God that cannot fail. When he recreated you in Christ Jesus, his purpose was that you would walk in good works. We sang about God's creation of the Son in Psalter number 37 tonight. And I wanted us to do that tonight so that we could think about that. Why did God make the Son? He created it, and one of his purposes was that that Son would shine. And the Son, being created to shine by God, to fulfill that purpose cannot possibly refuse to shine. It must fulfill the purpose for which God created it. That's the way it is with you and me as Christians. Another way to think of it is, in verse 16, the apostle refers to the church as the body of Jesus Christ. The living body of Jesus Christ. Every member is alive. Christ is the head. And when Christ's members who are dead in nature are united to him as their head, well, think of it, beloved. It would be blasphemy, wouldn't it, to say that Jesus Christ, the living Lord, is united to a dead body? That's not possible. Those who are united to him are made alive for the purpose of living, of serving the head, of doing good works. So think about that. Who God made you to be, but also now the purpose of God in making you to be a new creature, and how he has determined you must walk. And now, beloved, think about that too. What does it mean to walk in them? To walk in good works. And then I'm ashamed. I'm convicted. Too often when I think about my responsibility, my obligation to do good works, it's a list. It's a mentality that there are things that I ought to do now and then to serve God from time to time. But that doesn't fit, does it? That is not in harmony with what the Apostle Paul has in mind here when he says, you walk in them. He's saying, this is your life. This is the whole of your thinking, the whole of your willing, the whole of your doing. To walk in good works means that your whole life is devoted now to being different from what it was before. What it was before was a life devoted to sin, to trespasses. Now it is a life devoted to God and to his Son, Jesus Christ. And that stands to reason. Who are you? A new creature. A Christian. When? Sadly, too often, it seems like we think that we're only Christians and new creatures sometimes. But it doesn't work that way, does it? God doesn't say, now I've united you to Christ. And that means that certain times, certain days of the week, you're his body, but there are other times when you can be part of the world. You're a Christian, you're a new creature. That's your new identity. Always. And now the Word of God says, be who you are, that is, live according to who you are, always. Walk as a Christian, living in all good works. This is the purpose of God for you in eternity. And then in his work now, when he regenerated you, and when he gives you grace in Jesus Christ. But then the ultimate purpose, beloved, is that we will bring glory to the name of God. And that is in this text. That's not only in verse 9. Of course, in verse 9, we see it there. What is the purpose of God saving you? By his grace, giving you faith as a gift of his grace, and it's not of works, so that you won't boast, so that you won't try to take the glory, but so that you will give all glory to God. But that's also here in verse 10 in that word workmanship. In the first point, we saw that there the apostle is saying, you were created by God. You're the product of his work. That's what it means, you're his workmanship. But there's something more in that word. You're the work that God puts on display to show his power, his grace, his glory. That's the idea of this word workmanship. It's kind of like a builder building a home. Often, that home is his workmanship because he built it for the family that contracted him to build that home. But once in a while, and I understand that that's going to happen here in the coming weeks, a builder builds a home to put it on the parade of homes, to put on display his skill, his craftsmanship, hopefully to impress people so that they will say, "What workmanship?" And maybe hire him to build their own homes. Now, I'm not saying that God seeks to impress us or needs our praise. But when the apostle says we are his workmanship, he is saying that God puts you on display as new creatures in Christ for that purpose. That other Christians and even unbelievers will say, "What a powerful, what a glorious, what a great God those people must have." Beloved, how are we going to answer the question? In a world where the norm is that people are under the power of the devil and live in great sin and wickedness, how can there be these Christians who are humble, who love God, who walk in good works? And you understand it's that walk in good works that shows the handiwork of God. We can say and we know that when we think of God raising us from the dead, we think of God creating us anew, taking us out of the world, putting us in the church, giving us faith. These are great works of God. But how is anyone ever going to see that? They can't. They see the handiwork of God when they see the fruit of all of that in you and me living lives of good works. And when we do that, people have to say, the only explanation is that there is a God in heaven and that he's a wonder-working God who raises even the dead to new spiritual life. Finally, beloved, think of what a privilege that is. Before, in eternity, does this live in your mind? God could have planned to appoint me to condemnation and to use me for his glory in that. But he didn't do that. Instead, God, who is rich in his mercy and in his grace, chose to save us, to recreate us in Jesus Christ unto good works, that we should walk in them, to praise him. So walk in good works to the glory of your God, your Creator, your Recreator, and Redeemer. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love thy truth that we are saved by grace, not of works. We thank thee for teaching us that we are thy handiwork, that thou hast recreated us, raised us from the dead, and thy sovereign power through Jesus Christ. Now grant that in knowing who we are, in this coming week we may know how we are to put on display the glory of thy power and thy grace in our lives. may we remember that we are to walk according to not who we were by nature, but who we are by thy grace. And may we remember, too, thy saving purpose, that the purpose of our salvation is so that we will live in good works to the glory of thy name. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.